each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. And again, as we're saying all week, happy Easter. What are we? Today is, where are we? Thursday, and we're flying into the studio, as happens, because it's just been one of those days. Tony, this is your kind of a day, isn't it?
Yes.
This is rainy and gloomy and all that kind of stuff, lightning and thunder. So anyway, welcome. I'm flying in to the studio. How many times have we? I've done this every. Geraldine's over here. Tony was there. We got some guests here. We're extremely happy to have William. Because I was just talking to Bill O'Neill. Bill O'Brien. No, William Neal.
I'm still William Neal.
I'm sorry. Hey, you're gonna have to carry.
But
me,
I will
okay?
be transformed after this broadcast.
Okay, you probably will.
And we'll have to find a new name for me.
We're gonna keep with your name, William and Josephine. Josephine, your last name is
Stoppelenburg. It's a long, complicated Dutch name.
It's a beautiful name, actually. You know, you speak well. I mean, this is very. Are you from? Where are you from?
I'm originally from the Netherlands, but I've lived in Chicago for 5 years.
Wow,
now.
Beautiful accent. I mean, I hope you don't mind.
No, thank you.
Is a beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So, people, as you know, we're gonna and we get Bill and William and Josephine. Josephine, yes. You can tell I've got problems today. You know why?
It's the winds of change.
No, it's because I'm 60 years old today.
Oh, congratulations.
No, congratulations.
Yeah, Nick, don't... none of that. Okay, yeah. So that's my problem. I think this is my problem.
No, Father, don't say anything.
I think this is my problem. I wasn't even going to talk about it, but yeah.
You'll get over it.
I'll get over it? Okay. But no, it's just... We just had some stuff going on in the office, and so I just... with anxiety kind of coming into the studio. But, you know, you're going to calm me down because we're preparing for the... concert this Saturday. We've been advertising it. We've been talking about it for some time already. So, William, you're the composer. Where did this come from? What are you doing? Why are you here? What's happening?
Well, I can tell you why I'm here because, about 10 minutes ago, we were rehearsing in the beautiful nave with this wonderful grand piano that will be a part of the performance.
Right.
And to hear Josephine's voice float on the silence and the acoustic of this church was... brought me back to my first impression, and that was 2 years ago, 2.5 years, almost 3, where I was inspired by all the renovation, by the acoustics, sort of the warm acoustics, yet magnificent acoustic of this church, the history of the struggle of the church, and everything had this worked on my mind, and that was what brought me to you along with Magosha to... present the idea of having a concert that would celebrate the renovation so far of the church, but also to develop the theme that you're very part of, and that's the spirituality of this church, the significance of bringing light into this world, this violent world, in this sanctuary that you have here. And that really was all I needed. And, of course, we then went down the road of fundraising and to... raise the money to produce the concert, to make it possible then for the ticket sales on Saturday night to then benefit this church to continue this work.
Right.
So anyway.
Just a question. So And we had you, was it about a year ago, I think,
had you
on the radio,
yes,
you know,
indeed,
so
yes.
Welcome back, you know, by the way, now that as I start to calm down a little bit myself, but did you come on your own or did you come with Malgosia?
I was invited by Malgosia.
Okay, yeah.
I had a tour that day.
Okay.
Of all of her renovation work in various churches in this metropolitan area.
Ah, sure, okay.
And she saved the best for last.
Yeah.
We ended up here at afternoon, and to tie it in with Josephine, it was 3 days before I was with Josephine and her sister Charlotte at a house concert performing my music, my songs, my D.H. Lawrence songs, and Malgosia was invited. And I met her there. She had her iBook computer, and she had all these wonderful images of this church and what she had been doing. I said, what are you? What do you do? And, well, we preserve artifacts and renovate precious art objects associated with churches and so forth.
Who?
Malgosia.
Oh, Malgosia,
and
yeah.
And Tomek,
okay,
her
yeah,
husband.
Yeah, sure.
So I said, I'd like to love a tour. And so the next day, we went around at all the churches and ended up here.
Okay, yeah.
And it was indeed a work in progress because they were still, you know, working on things.
Right.
And I was just totally blown away. One, the fact that there are these wonderful old world artisans. Of course, Malgosia and her husband are from Poland.
That's right.
Which connects with this church, obviously.
Right.
These old world artisans that work on scaffolding and work so hard in a dedicated manner to bring beauty, restore beauty in this world. So that was number one. I thought, wow, you know, you are inspiring as an artist. Two, the church, the story of the church, the beauty. And so the next day I said, you know what? There should be music involved here.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, I love composing.
Right.
And then the next day after that, she brought me to you, and we had that conversation.
Right. Yeah. And that was 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
It seems like it. The time is just flying. But I tell you, and, you know, this is It fits right into the very thing we're trying to do because and I was just talking to somebody yesterday about this, and maybe we were talking, maybe on the radio, I don't remember, but I'm going from one place to the next. But the beauty, you know, what's it going to take to transform? I think it's without a doubt, people have a sense that there's this increasing darkness that seems to be enveloping the world and, you know, and that's not to be pessimistic, but it's to be, there's a certain realism to that statement, I think. And at the same time, you know, that here we are in the Easter season, we're not defeated. We're not a defeated people. And so it's not about being pessimistic, but it's about maintaining and living in hope. And what will bring, what will uplift the soul? What will bring a sense of hope, some light into the darkness? But it's beauty, really, it's beauty. Now, people have to have some experience of people are looking to be whether they. Let me just say this: maybe they don't even know it, but when people are inspired, they're inspired, and art and music and all. So what you're doing fits right into the response to a call. Actually, we feel like we're responding to the call of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and certainly. You can't separate the Holy Mother from her son, you know, the two sides of the same coin. She lives to do the will of God, and that right here in the heart of Chicago, that our doors would be open and that people might come away from the noise of the world. It's just the cacophony of the world will not shout into silence the voice of the living God. And that's a beautiful voice, a beautiful voice.
Yes, yeah, so that voice is distinctly feminine. It is motherly, and that brings me to Josephine.
Fantastic.
And maybe you could tell us about what it's like, what it feels to be a singer communicating from the very core of your existence with your voice.
Wow, that's a big question. Well, I can say that the lovely music that Bill composed is very moving. Speaking of darkness and light, the piece is called Out of Darkness into Light. And what it is, in essence, it's a kind of a prayer that goes from someone who feels disconnected and alone, like we sometimes all can have, and hoping to get this kind of divine connection back to feel safe and comforted. So the first part is this solitary feeling. The middle part is kind of a struggle to get to that, to connect again. And that's a very virtuosic music as well, has a lot of improvising in it. So there will be quite an adventure. And then at the end, it kind of transcends this solitary problems and comes into a very communal feeling of being reconnected, being locked on,
sure.
if you will.
Yeah.
And getting hope and inspiration from that. And the beautiful thing about this piece is also that it ends very with a lot of improvisation and silence. And it also starts with a beautiful piece by Hildegard von Bingen that I will sing a cappella. And of course, Hildegard von Bingen was very close to feelings of the Madonna. That was
sure.
She spent a lot of time and effort into that. And it's a beautiful art to start with that. O Igni Spiritus, O Holy Fire, please help us to be inspired. That's
sure.
what the piece said. And then comes Bill's very gorgeous music, very evocative, very powerful, and ends again in this silence, but then a warm and connected
wow.
kind of music. It's absolutely beautiful, and it's a pleasure to sing his music.
Well, this is
well,
I mean,
thank you. Well, just to mention one a component, that was the improvisation. And it's not an insignificant part. So it was a challenge to create a structure in the piece so that I could guide the singer through, you know, Josephine through the piece, but also leave room for Tom Goulian, who is a master improviser. And we do some improvisation together in the piece. But we love what we do in Project Forest Stream because it all works towards these moments where there's no strings attached. It's all coming from our soul.
Sure.
And it's all about listening to how we sound at the moment in the space. And that is the state, sort of a static state of prayer, if you will.
Yeah, sure.
Where you're moved, the audience is moved, and also we come to these realizations. And I've, through the years, recorded some of our improvisations. And when we really let go, I am playing with Tom some of the most incredible music that I could actually never write. I'd never be able to notate it.
Sure.
So that's going to be part of the performance.
I want to tell you right now, I remember the last time you were on the show. And I mean, and William and I, you know, over the last couple of years, we were just kind of passing, you know, passing like, what, two ships in the night, you know, when you're here. Yesterday I was just coming back from a funeral. You were here and we talked just for a few minutes. I remember when the only time we've had a good time to sit down and talk is on the radio, believe it or not. And I remember the last time I was so inspired by just your presence and your words, having you here. And it's the same. I feel that the same inspiration now as well. Also, Josephine, and I think this is the thing that is so exciting to me is this idea. Just speaking to Barb this morning about this, you know, what, again, it goes back to what is it that, what will bring, how do we inspire, how do we invite or perhaps open the door, bring people into this, into the divine mystery so that they can get, in a sense, lost, meaning that they're free, that there's a freedom, that there's no constraints, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
As you're talking, I have that sense as well.
Well, I often talk about music. I don't know what Josephine feels about music, but we're often, it's like I feel like I'm crafting dreams, dream craft,
yeah.
where you're putting all the right elements together and you create this magic for the audience.
Yeah, art and music always have had this function, of course, of kind of being an in-between world of you know, people and the feelings and the divine and trying to make a kind of a bridge
sure.
between the worlds. And that is magic in its
sure,
own
absolutely.
Mind.
I mean, can I ask, Josephine, can
sure.
you give us a little bit of your background?
Sure. Well, so I'm from the Netherlands originally, and I perform there a lot with my family, actually. They're all musicians.
Wow, okay. Wow.
My sister's also a singer. And
the DNA.
Yes, yeah. It is. We have a vocal duo together, which is really nice. And here in Chicago, I just perform a lot of oratorio, sacred music, but a lot of early music and Baroque as well. And contemporary music is just fantastic because it's new. You know, it's not been recorded for a gazillion times.
Sure.
You really have to figure out everything yourself. And when it's a powerful music like what Bill has composed, you can really put completely your own heart and soul in it. And that's what I really love about his music. It's so easy to connect with. And I'm sure,
sure
the audience will feel that as well.
Sure, sure. No, I have no doubt.
I love hearing that I've done the right follow the right recipe.
Right.
To invite performers in the piece to mm-hmm. really take it to themselves, to be self-expressive with it. That's a wonderful feeling.
But William, what are you, so was Josephine going to sing a little bit or was it not on the radio?
Well, I did bring a sound file. Oh, he hasn't loaded it up.
Okay.
But there, let me tell you about the piece.
Okay, yeah, please.
Out of Darkness and Light is supported by our duo, Project Forest Dream, myself on the piano. Tom Goulion will start on bass clarinet, move to soprano sax, and end with the alto flute. All three instruments he plays incredibly well. I also incorporated digital acoustics, and that brings us back to Nostras Voces,
right.
Our voices. And the digital part, I've recorded the voices of some people actually you know, speaking the names of the Polish saints and the Latin American saints associated
okay.
with, you know,
sure.
this church. And I've done some research, and I found some interesting quotes by these saints that were very inspiring.
Wow.
We recorded those and created whispered sounds. So what you'll hear is kind of a texture, and you'll hear words come and go, but essentially this lonely voice that Josephine's portraying, searching the mother, is being coached by the voices, historic voices of the saints associated with the church. So in essence, we're not alone in this because
right.
there are many who have gone before
exactly,
us and
yes.
dealt with struggles and become saints because
right,
of
right.
that, canonized. And their words are worth reading and repeating just like the gospel. But these words that I found very inspiring, I actually recorded in this digital part. So you'll hear those voices come and go.
Wow.
So thread in and out of the performance. They create percussive sounds. They create climatic sounds. And that, you know, connects, I think, the piece
sure.
directly with the history of this church, you know. And but then it was inspiring to me.
Sure.
Because I had these digital parts, you know, running, you know, in the background while I was composing
wow.
the music, you see. So,
fact, we are performing with the saints, right?
And yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, that is correct.
That, you know, that really, I tell you, see, this is God works in mysterious ways. Even, you know, bringing Our Lady into this as well, the Blessed Virgin Mary, you know, it was just, Barb was sharing that with me some months ago, I guess. She had spoken to you, you know, and she said, wow, that's just a keen idea, you know, because even the present reality, the history and the present reality, and as we look into the future, because we do believe that we're here for a purpose, and we do believe that our doors are open for a purpose, and we do believe, you know, the fact that we're here in the heart of Chicago, right off the Kennedy Expressway, so people have easy access, you know, off the, or say the expressway is like a symbol of the pilgrimage of life, you know, people kind
oh, sure,
of, you
yeah.
know, and they can just
yeah. stream of life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Step off the path and get into sacred space and be lifted up. But the whole, this, and I, when I saw you, so I was just coming back from a funeral, but I was just speaking to the family yesterday at the Mass about just the beauty of the church. And we've got these images of all the saints and all that, and this is just a reminder that we're not, it's just not, we have just a little bit of time, you know, in this life. Life is a gift, you know, in this journey, you know, toward the homeland. But to always be conscious of those who have come before us so that we know how to live in our own time, you know, how to respond to God's call, that we be the leaven, that we be the salt, that we be the light in the darkness, right? So
these are the voices of the elders. It's
yeah.
sort of built into the whole Catholic
sure.
Work with saints, and they're here to, you know, guide us,
yeah.
the guides, spiritual guides. You know, they're there. Well, you know, it's all. I want to get back to the whole dream world, the idea of cultivating and validating the dreams of everyone, and you know, that's where we feel our purpose, I think, because from the Latin American poet Jorge Luis Borges, I learned that all dreams belong to God. So for any kind of dream state, whether it be through music or actually
sure.
dreaming, you know, at night or whatever, daydreaming, this is a connection
right.
that we're making. And you know, we should be sort of calibrating our lives sure. with these thoughts and these ruminations, you know.
What do you, let me ask you, we get just a couple of minutes, because I know you guys are going to, you're going into rehearsal in a few minutes, right? Do you
yeah,
have a little bit
are.
Of time?
We've been rehearsing in the church, and it's yeah. beautiful. The acoustic is so great, and the whole atmosphere is just gorgeous. Yeah.
Is this your, this isn't your first day here, is it?
No, Margosha actually showed me around one day when she was still working on mm-hmm. All the paintings. But it's the second time, I think, that I've been here.
So she gave you a tour as well?
She did, yeah. yes.
They very show off their work. It's, you know, remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we're really extremely excited. I'm very excited now. I mean, I've been excited,
well,
but now.
You know what? Before we forget, we mentioned Malgosh a couple of times. I raised money in my studio to produce this event, and I was able to commission Malgosh to write the text.
You mentioned that yesterday.
To this
yeah.
piece, because she had very gifted poetically, right. and to create images that will be used in the piece, the very first piece of the program called The Faces of Mary, where we'll be projecting images on the piano. These images she composed of likenesses of the Virgin Mary, Blessed Mary throughout the ages. And there's kind of a self-portrait in there as well because of her trials of, you know, having a child recently and... you know, that bringing that new life in her life as well. So she's part of this as well.
Yeah,
so
no, this is...
I just want to make sure you know
it's
that.
Absolutely. It's and it's a great team, and she's been a blessing to us. There's no doubt about that. She's been I guess she's been around with us for, 8 years or 10 years maybe? I don't know, but it's how we even...
A lot.
It's been a long
it's
time,
a long
yeah,
time.
But her work is absolutely beautiful. And... extremely excited. Now, this is this Saturday at 7:30.
Correct.
Right, 7:30 here at St. Stan's. For those who may not know, I mean, everybody should know where we are by this point, but we're right off the Kennedy Expressway, just a block north of Division Street, just to the east, to the west of the Kennedy on Noble Street. So the Noble Street, right off the Kennedy Expressway, just a block north of Division Street, and that's this Saturday at 7:30. Any final words from either one of you? Or?
Well, this will be a one-of-a-kind concert, I guarantee you. And if you're thinking about coming, please do. Don't miss this.
Yeah, it can be a very almost mystical experience, as music can sometimes have. And it will have beautiful imagery and music and singing. And I think it will be a very special kind of event. It's not your regular kind of concert. It's a... Yeah, I think it can be very powerful.
Yeah, I have no doubt. Mysticism, you know, I just love the word mysticism. Again, I was talking this morning about that. This is, I think, what's needed is, you know, sweep people into the mystery, you know, and let them
absolutely.
Be free. Let them find freedom. People need freedom and hope. I mean, that, you know, I think just a question, Josephine. How do you like Chicago?
I love it.
What do you like about Chicago? Can I ask you?
Well, I like the people a lot. They're very open, very communicative, very positive, and very helpful. And I love the city. It's just absolutely beautiful. I live in Evanston, but I always enjoy driving into Chicago and seeing the big buildings like mountains rising up there.
Right. Sure.
Yes, it's a gorgeous city. I'm really happy to be part of the city.
Well, we're extremely happy to have you here, and we're happy to have you here at the St. Stan's. William, I can't thank you enough for God. I thank God, first of all, for having given you the inspiration, because we believe all things are, you know, for the greater glory of God and for the salvation, the sanctification of others. There's no separating that. And he knows his own, you know, and so he taps into a soul and. It's to the benefit of us all. So I want to thank you very much for being disposed and receptive to the inner working of God's Spirit in your life. He has certainly gifted you and Josephine as well. There's no doubt about it.
Thank you.
All right. So we shall see you. You guys are going into rehearsal. We will be, everybody, please. And we'll keep talking about this tomorrow. Gosh, it's already Thursday. Well, keep talking about it today and tomorrow as well. So. Thank you so much for being with us, okay?
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to the Listen Support of Witness of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Sunday, April 12th, is Divine Mercy Sunday. And the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago is at St. Stanislaus Kostka on Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th. There will be masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. And English and Spanish confessions, a recitation of the Holy Rosary, and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Bring yourself to Christ's infinite well of mercy. Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the link of the Holy Week schedule of services. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hello, I'm William Neal of Project Fourth Stream. We will be performing a benefit concert with the church choir and guest soprano Josephine Stoppelberg on April 11th at 7:30 at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church in Chicago. We have entitled the concert Notris Voces, Out of Darkness into Light, because the music, quietly passionate and reflective, will explore the themes of darkness and illumination. Music is a blend of classical and jazz improvisation and has been inspired by the recently restored artifacts in the church's sanctuary of the Divine Mercy.
The Nostras Voces concert is a fundraiser for St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. The concert is this Saturday evening, April 11th, at 7:30. Tickets $25 for adults, $40 for families. That's adult parents with minor children. High school and college students, $10. Purchase tickets online by visiting sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Tickets also available at the door the day of the concert.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. Wow, that is really inspiring. It's amazing how people can move you to, just want to... I don't know, just very inspiring, don't you think?
Yeah, no, yeah. I really want to, I'm going to go. I was teetering on. You got to go and bring family and friends.
And
this is the same thing where I know this is going to be one of those things where, oh, we didn't know.
Exactly.
Please, people, I mean, take it. Just come out and just, you won't regret it.
Because what happens, as you said, Tony, and it's so true, and I was thinking about that.
You hear it from everybody.
People will say, oh, if I had only known.
If I'd only known.
I would have invited my children,
my
brothers and sisters, my friends, and all
sure.
that. So, and then, Christina, you guys are going to be singing there
we're
as
gonna
well.
We're going to be singing just together with, yes, we're singing the Black Madonna.
La Charna
Madonna.
Madonna.
McDonald's?
No, Charna Madonna.
Our Lady of Chains Jehovah. But it's, but the name is the
Charna
name of the song.
Madonna is the name of the song.
Can you give us a little bit of a...
No, I would need the background
sure,
music.
Sure.
I don't want to be off.
Are you singing it in Polish
We're
or English?
We're singing it in English and in Polish.
Wow. Okay, wow. Wow, so that's so you guys are going to be part of this as well.
We're going to be part of the St. Stan's wow. choir.
It's amazing when you listen to people like William and Josephine. As Josephine's got it in their DNA, I guess her whole family's in to music. But you can just see the, I don't know.
Kind of like the Von Trapp family.
I mean, what do you think, Geraldine?
No, I loved her, just hearing her voice
yeah.
there.
Without her, mm-hmm. without her even singing.
Oh, I know. I love voices like that.
Mm. Yeah, so anyway. All right, so that's this Saturday at 7:30.
And it's interesting that he brought up the whole improvisation.
Yeah.
Because in high school, I was in the band and the jazz band.
Yeah.
Jazz ensemble.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So,
the drummer you were.
I was a drummer, but it was a lot of fun. A lot of the blues music and jazz music is improvisation. And it's a lot of fun where you create your own music. So whatever moves you, it's like the Holy Spirit is moving you.
Sure.
And in this case, we're here in the church, and it's they're talking about the Madonna, Our Lady,
right.
who's very much present here. And so whatever inspires you, whatever moves you, that's how the music goes. Of course, you stay within
the range, the
sure,
and you're free to do whatever beats you want. It just wow. It's the Holy Spirit inspiring.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I'm looking. I really am looking. Now I'm excited. I really am, because I'm too busy, you know, and so right. I can't think about it.
Right.
You know, I know it's going to be there. Now
it's upon you.
It's right. All of a sudden, you know, and yeah. Even as they were talking, I thought, gosh, I wish, at all the Sunday masses they would have had, they could have been here. Of course, William is coming from Wisconsin. He lives in Wisconsin, and Josephine. This is the first time I met Josephine, mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. she's in Chicago, but it would have been nice, because that just being in their presence and listening mm-hmm. is an inspiration in and of itself. And it's and they're speaking our language. That's mm-hmm. the other thing. It's they're speaking the language, you know, light out of darkness. And I love this idea that dreaming is a way of getting, although you don't dream, though, do you, Geraldine, you know? Poor thing.
I wish I did.
Yeah.
I can just be awake for hours without dreaming, and yeah. That's like, terror.
Maybe that. Yeah, that's terrible. That's not good.
No, I hate it.
But those, yeah. You know, the dreams are beautiful, because in many ways God speaks to us. He sends us messages.
I guess he never speaks to me then.
to those of us.
Well, you just, the problem is if you'd listen, you know. The thing is, you don't listen. I am suspecting, you know. He knows.
That's probably it.
No, he's speaking to you all day long. So when you, right. But although you don't sleep, you wake up.
But you know, Jerry, God speaks to us in many ways. Dreams are one way of Him speaking to us, but there's other ways that He speaks to us.
That's right. And some of those dreams could be nightmares, you know, and that's not God speaking.
No,
that
no,
devil.
No, no,
it
not all.
Be, I guess,
yeah,
yeah.
But lying awake is a nightmare,
that, yeah,
telling
yes.
you that.
That's terrible.
Yes.
Okay. Evidently, you were up all night last night.
I can, 4 hours.
4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, what can we do to make you feel a little bit better now?
The rest is the best.
Rest is
the best. I'm okay.
You're okay?
But I know what, Jerry, because last week I had a terrible week. I couldn't. Yeah. Wasn't
sure.
be able to sleep either.
Yeah.
The stress.
Well, that explains why you were irritable last week. And
I was.
No,
and I've taken over that role.
Yeah, no, not really. Anyway, no, we're looking forward to this very much. But I'll tell you, it has been a day. It has been a day. Today's Thursday. I keep thinking it's Friday, but it has been a stressful day. Can I say?
Yes.
Started out very nice because it's just beautiful. I really do. I was telling Geraldine this morning that it was so nice to hear the thunder and the lightning, yeah. And it was really coming down.
It was
rain.
A great sound.
Wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. I love it.
I like it, but my dog got really scared.
Oh, sure.
So she wouldn't go out.
They're super sensitive to
yeah,
that sound.
Yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. But, well, you know, what we can do at this point is I actually, for the first time, I read a commentary on the appearances of Christ in a chronological way, which is always a little bit dangerous to do that because the Gospels, there's four different Gospels,
mm-hmm.
and it's not per se, strictly speaking, it's not it's certainly not a history book, but there's history in it, but it's not about, you know, chronology or, you know, this is what happened at this time on this day. I mean, we
right.
get some insights into that, but when you read the four Gospels, you say, well, what, okay, a little bit confused here because... Okay, so Jesus appeared here, then he appeared there. He said this, he said that. So how to pull it together? So you want to hear about that? I think
yes,
that's kind
please.
Of interesting, actually.
Yes.
Are you okay, Christina? You took off there for a little while?
Yes, I'm okay.
All right.
Taking care of business.
We're just concerned.
That's
you know?
Okay. Thank you for your support.
Anyway, so this is the and what we're doing this week is this is Easter week, so every day there's a different account of the apparition or the appearance, I shouldn't say the apparition, but the appearance of the risen Christ. How many times did he appear? Anybody, you want to guess? How many appearances were there?
After the resurrection?
After the resurrection.
Six. I don't know.
Six?
I want to say four.
Seven? I don't
seven.
Know.
12.
12.
Whoa, 12.
We're all wrong.
And see, until you sit down and you really look at it,
mm-hmm.
Well, actually, we've got 12 appearances of the risen Christ. So we'll begin in the morning. So the morning of the resurrection, it was very early in the morning, and he appeared. There were a group of several women. He didn't appear. There were a group of several women, including Mary Magdalene. They approached the tomb, for what reason, but they wanted to complete the burial custom on behalf of Jesus. And when they got to the tomb, of course, they were alarmed because why? because the tomb was open.
Mm-hmm.
It was open. And Mary Magdalene, she runs off to Peter and to John with the distressing news of likely grave robbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the women who the women who remain at the tomb, they encounter the angel who declares to them that Jesus has risen and that they should tell this to the brethren. They should go and tell the brothers. Now, here's the brothers, you know. So remember, this is a beautiful thing about the Lord as well in this during this time, you know, as we're leading up to the crucifixion after the Last Supper. You know, he'll speak of his disciples. At another point, he'll speak of them as my children. He'll call them certainly, I call you no longer servants, but I call you friends. And then brothers, you know, go and tell my brothers or tell the brothers. Go. Well, he says, really, go and tell my brothers, right? So it's very interesting because in essence, each and every one of us, we're a child of God. We're disciples, which means we're students of the Lord. We will always be students, disciples, by virtue of our baptism. We have to think of ourselves as disciples. Truly, we're disciples of Christ Jesus. We are children of God. We are here to serve the Lord, right? So we are servants. He calls us friends. And, of course, we've been adopted into the family. So we are sons and daughters of the Father and, therefore, brothers and sisters of Christ Jesus. So as I said, Mary Magdalene, she goes on, she runs to Peter and John to tell them that the body has been stolen, taken away. The women who remain, they encounter the angel. At first, the women are what? They're full of fear. They have a lot of fear, and they depart from the tomb afraid to say anything. But they recover their courage, and they decide to go to the apostles. Meanwhile, Peter and John come to the tomb to investigate Mary Magdalene's claim. And Mary follows them, arriving back at the tomb while Peter and John are still there. Peter and John discover the tomb is empty. All they know is that the tomb is empty. They don't encounter the angel. John believes in the resurrection. Peter's conclusion is not recorded. We don't know what Peter thought at that time, right? Now, the other women report to the remaining apostles what the angel at the tomb said to them. Peter and John have not yet returned from the tomb, and these remaining apostles are at first dismissive of the women's story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are women, right?
Yeah, they think they're gossiping or just...
Right. Now, Mary Magdalene, she's lingering at the tomb.
Yes.
She's weeping, and she's fearful. She peers into the tomb. She sees the two angels who wonder why she weeps. They say, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Jesus then approaches her from behind, and not looking directly at Jesus, she supposes him to be a gardener, and when he calls her by name, Mary, she recognizes his voice and sees him, and she's filled with joy, and she clings to him. This is the first appearance of the risen Christ. So to Mary Magdalene, and again, you know, we talked about that the other day, right? Jesus, the beauty of the Lord, you know, anticipating her joy, his joy, at seeing her joy when he says, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? Who do you seek?" Yeah, and she says, "If you know where they've taken the body, tell me." And he says, "Mary," and she recognizes. This is a very beautiful, very, very heartwarming. But that's the first appearance of the risen Lord, is to Mary Magdalene. So then Jesus sends Mary back to the apostles with the news to prepare for them for his appearance later that day. She's to prepare them for the appearance. And then the other women have now departed from the apostles. They're on their way, possibly back home, and Jesus appears to them. This is the second appearance. Mm-hmm. He appears to them, having dispatched with Mary. He also sends them back. He sends them as well to go to the apostles, and with the news that he has risen and that he will see them. Mm-hmm. He will see them. Imagine the anticipation.
Wow.
You know?
Yes.
Okay, then in the afternoon and evening, this is the day one, this is the day of the resurrection. Later that day, two of the disciples On the Road to Emmaus. Mm-hmm. We had that reading yesterday. That was the gospel reading yesterday. And they're pondering, you know, they've heard the rumors that that Jesus, of the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus comes up behind them. They're prevented from recognizing him. First, and of course, you know the story well, but I was saying yesterday, this is my favorite appearance because there's so much in it. And they're going back to Emmaus. They're leaving Jerusalem. This is the day of the resurrection. They've only heard the rumor that the tomb is empty. And Jesus, he says, you know, what are you discussing as you go on your way? What are the eyes downcast for? And they look up and they say, Lord, they don't say Lord because they don't know it's the Lord. They don't recognize him, but they says, are you the only one who doesn't know what has happened? We thought he was the one, you know? And I kind of, reading between the lines, you know, it's like, well, he was our hope, he was our joy, he was our peace. He gave us a sense of who we were. He gave us a sense of where we had come from, where we were going. We thought he was the Christ, we thought he was the Messiah, but he's been crucified and put to death and buried. And how is it that you don't know about this? Everybody else knows. Everybody's talking about it. This is their response mm-hmm. to Jesus. And Jesus says to them, he says, you know, how foolish, how quick to forget.
Yeah.
How quick you forget. He says, wasn't it supposed to happen this way? And the gospel is very clear that he opens up the scriptures. This is the Hebrew scripture because there is no gospel. He is the gospel. He is the good news. It hasn't been written, the gospels. And he says, you know, what was written? Wasn't this supposed to happen this way? And he goes back and he extrapolates from the Hebrew scripture. Remember what Moses said and the prophets and all that. And then they come to the, he gave the impression he was going on. And he said, sir, come and stay with us. It's getting late. And the gospel says he went into their home. He sat down at the table. He took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it, and he vanished from their sight. And they looked at each other, and they said, did not our hearts burn as he spoke to us? It was at the breaking of the breaking of the bread that they recognized him, but he vanishes. And so they immediately they go back to the upper room, back to Jerusalem, to the cenacle, to tell them that Jesus had appeared. So this is the third appearance of Jesus, the third appearance of Jesus, and this is to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And basically what we have there is the blueprint for the Mass. Yeah. We come, the Word of God is opened, and we're fed with the Word of God, and then we're fed at the table, the altar of sacrifice, the table of the banquet, with he leaves the bread, the Eucharistic gift, as food for the journey that we not collapse as we go on our way, and that we give witness, because the Mass means mission, missio, mission. So we're people with a mission. We're people with a mission. We come, you know, perhaps discouraged, perhaps with the eyes downcast. We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. So we listen to the Word of God, and how could we forget? How could we forget? Yes, of course. And then, of course, we have reception. We have the encounter with Jesus in the Eucharist. So again, that's the third appearance
yeah.
of Jesus. Now, once they, as they continue, let's see, the two disciples return that evening to Jerusalem. They go to the 11. At first, the 11 disbelieve them, just as they had disbelieved the women. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, mm-hmm. they continue to relate what they've experienced. At some point, Peter draws apart from the others, perhaps for a walk, and the Lord appears to Peter. This would be the fourth appearance to Peter. And Peter informs the other 10, who then believe, and thus the disciples from Emmaus are still lingering there with the apostles, are now told that it is indeed true that Jesus has risen. So the others believe on the word of Peter. The other disciples or apostles believe on the word of Peter. So that's the fourth appearance of Jesus. Now, almost at the same moment, Jesus then appears to the small gathering of apostles and the two disciples from Emmaus.
Oh.
So in the same time there, but who's not there, of course?
Thomas.
Thomas is not there. So this is the fifth appearance, and that's the evening. Actually, I was saying yesterday that the road to Emmaus, that was the last appearance of the day, but it wasn't. It wasn't the last. This was the last.
Mm.
You know, in the upper room, Jesus appears to the others. So we're gonna that's five appearances right there. I said, what, there's 12 appearances. So we're gonna take a break. We'll come back and we'll look at the others, kind of in a chronological way. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Sunday, April 12th, is Divine Mercy Sunday, and the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago is at St. Stanislaus Kostka on Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th. There will be Masses in English, Polish, and Spanish, and English and Spanish confessions, the recitation of the Holy Rosary, and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Bring yourself to Christ's infinite well of mercy. Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the link of the Holy Week schedule of services.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. I'm inviting you to an opportunity to be pierced by the sheer beauty of God's plan for your life, to make the connection between God, sex, and the meaning of life.
As Father Loya invites you to hear renowned speaker and author Christopher West, Saturday, April 25th, at St. Mary Immaculate Parish in Plainfield, Illinois.
Original sin for all of us, for every human being on the planet, has disoriented our desires. We often find ourselves hungry for things that don't satisfy the ache, don't satisfy the need.
Join Christopher Saturday, April 25th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. at St. Mary Immaculate Parish, 15629 South Route 59, Plainfield, Illinois. Limited seating. Register online to coreseminar.evenbright.com. Core spelled C-O-R, Bright spelled B-R-I-T-E. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hello, I'm William Neal of Project Fourth Stream. We will be performing a benefit concert with the church choir and guest soprano Josephine Stoppelberg on April 11th at 7:30 at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church in Chicago. We have entitled the concert Notris Voces, Out of Darkness into Light, because the music, quietly passionate and reflective, will explore the themes of darkness and illumination. Our music is a blend of classical and jazz improvisation and has been inspired by the recently restored artifacts in the Church's Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy.
The Nostras Voces Concert is a fundraiser for St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. The concert is this Saturday evening, April 11th, at 7:30. Tickets $25 for adults, $40 for families. That's adult parents with minor children. High school and college students, $10. Purchase tickets online by visiting sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Tickets also available at the door the day of the concert.
Welcome back, everybody, and
we join our Chaldean Catholics in prayer to the Mother.
Whoa!
We're back.
Backlash. Can you hear us now?
It's going to be. It's one of those days. You know, you can tell.
And it's getting worse.
Father,
no, I
hope people come to this concert.
I do too. I really do, Tony. You know, keep talking about it. You know,
right? I mean, I'm really getting excited.
You got to go into the highways and the byways.
I'll do it.
Just do it.
Sign that says, "Please."
Yeah. No, just as I said, just speaking to them, having them here was an inspiration in and of itself. We're on the same page. We're all speaking
like
the same language.
A little anticipation, like a little taste.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we're talking about the chronologically speaking, and it's kind of a little bit dangerous, but we're trying to, you know, this was an article I was reading on the a pastor who has been sitting with the scriptures and praying the scriptures as we have, but he's tried to create a chronology, you know, the sequence of the appearances of the risen Christ. It's very interesting. And so that first day, the first Sunday, the day of the resurrection, it seems that the Lord appeared five or maybe six times, because it seems that he might have appeared another again in the upper room that same evening. And then there's an interlude. And we're talking about just what's recorded, because this is only what's recorded in Scripture. So then there's an interlude, and Jesus, it seems that he doesn't appear to anybody during the week, at least that's not recorded. And so 1 week later, this would be on the octave, he appears to the apostles again as they're gathered, but this time Thomas is with them. This will be the gospel this Sunday on the octave, the gospel on the octave. Clearly the gospel says, you know, a week later, they were gathered again, and Thomas was with them, and Jesus appeared. So this is the seventh appearance of Jesus in the upper room. And the apostles, this is where Thomas confesses Jesus to be Lord and God, because remember, when they told Thomas, he wasn't there the week before, he says, you know, Jesus has risen, he's appeared to us, and he says, no, I won't believe until I, you know, see the marks of the nail wounds in his hands and put my hand into his wounded side. And so Jesus appears and says, Thomas, you know, come, put your finger into the wounds of my hand and your hand into the wound of my side, and don't persist in being unbelieving, but believe. And blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And of course, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Yes, blessed. But blessed are you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. So this would be the seventh appearance. And the apostles received the instruction to return to Galilee. So they're in Jerusalem. So they're told now, Jesus says, I want you to go to Galilee, and there you will see me. And so they journey. It's about a 60-mile trip going north, so it takes some time. And sometime later, we're not sure exactly when, but it was sometime later, they've made the trip back to Galilee. All we know is that after this, John says in his gospel, a matter of days or maybe even a week later, the scene is the Sea of Galilee. Not all the 12 are present. They've gone fishing. Jesus summons them from the lakeside. They come to the shore. He sees them. Peter has this. This is that beautiful discussion he has with Jesus. This is a picture of Jesus. He's prepared the breakfast for them, and then he takes Peter to the side, and he'll ask the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord. You know, he says, well, feed the sheep. And he'll ask him three times. Okay, we talked about that just the other day.
You think like the three times, like in honor of the, I always thought that in honor of the Holy Trinity, it's God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Why do you think three times, Christina Carrasco?
No, I'm just thinking because it's like, do you love me? Do you love God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit?
It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry. You're doing
but
fine.
But he also
it.
Denied him three
that's
times.
It. That would be the reason. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but he denied him three times.
Three.
Mm-hmm. But three. Yeah, he denied him three times. But again, it's
well, you know that's very interesting because in the prayers of the church for the dying, and right after the death, there's some very very beautiful prayers. But one of them is very specific. He did not, speaking to the deceased, you know, whoever that may be, Fulano,
sure.
He did not deny the Father. He did not deny the Son. He did not deny the Holy Spirit.
Because,
so that would fit into your way of thinking.
Going back, why did he deny him three times?
Yeah.
Why was it three times?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's you know, thanks for the insight.
No.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
No, but really, no, that's interesting. But it brings me back to that prayer. Anyway, I hate to say we're just about out of time. So,
no way.
Yes, we are. Yeah, we're almost at the end of the hour. So we've got what 12 appearances. So he appears. So he appears to them at the in the northern part of Galilee, and then okay. So that's the what was that the eighth appearance. Okay, so then. And Peter has a discussion. Then the next appearance is recorded in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And we think we forget about this, but he appeared to 500. 500. That's an interesting appearance, isn't it?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul records the fact that of this appearance, then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom are still alive, some who have fallen asleep. That's Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. So that would be the ninth time, the ninth appearance of Jesus. And then he appears to James, because Paul will go on to say, so that was a separate appearance of Jesus to James. It's also in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He appears to James. That's the tenth appearance. And then the rest of the 40 days, Jesus has had other appearances to or with the disciples. Luke will attest to this in the Acts of the Apostles when he writes, "To them he presented himself alive after his passion by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking of the kingdom of God." So we don't really know how many times, but he was with them during that 40 days. Okay, so what about the 11th and the 12th appearance? So during this time, there is perhaps the one appearance we can attribute specifically to this time period recorded by Matthew and Mark. It takes place on a mountain in Galilee. Mark adds that they were reclining at table, and it's here that Jesus gives the Great Commission. We'll talk about that Jesus was taken up from this mountain as a conclusion. So we were talking about the ascension, right? That he appeared Did I just confuse myself here? No, of course, it takes place at the mountaintop. Mm-hmm. And this is Jesus returns to the Father. Mm-hmm. Now, let's see, Jesus also summoned them back to Jerusalem. Then he told them to go back to Jerusalem. They're in Galilee. He says, go back to Jerusalem. And this is toward the end of the 40 days. He charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard me from me, for John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And after 40 days of appearances and instructions, we have a final account of the last appearance, wherein he leads them out to a place near Bethany and gives them final instructions to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit is sent. Oh, and then he's taken up to heaven in their very sight. So the 11th was when he appeared to them as they were reclining at table. He tells them to go back to Jerusalem, and then, of course, we see him in the at the ascension. Or they see him.
Yes.
All right. And that's it. That brings us to the end of the show. Wow. I'm sorry to say, but we will be back tomorrow, God willing, I suspect. Right?
Yes.
Concert this Friday? This Saturday. Saturday. At 7:30. Everybody, thanks so much for being with us. Have a nice day. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Become so obscure, it does not take that long.